And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your no-show. How is it that you are showing up in the world? How is it that Spirit is working with you to support, to help, to be a kindred spirit, to give of yourself in wonderful and wonderful ways? And what does that look like for you, for your family, for your community, for your state, and for the world? This is the No Show. That is what this is all about. It's all about how it is that we go about allowing the Spirit, the goodness, the grace, the peace of the God force, by whatever name you choose to call it, to show up for us in this world. And we are so excited that you decided to spend some of your LPEs, your life's precious energy, with us together collectively so that we can see how we might take from each other, give to others, and then make the world a better place, a better space to be in. We are excited that you chose to be here. We know that there were a lot of other places that you could have been, but you said, no, I am going to call in, and I am going to be a part of the No Show, and I am going to let Reverend Mack know that what he is doing matters and that we are so excited about doing things wonderfully well in this space continuum called life for these few moments that we call a lifetime until we get a chance to come back and do it all over again, but do it as we know what we've known and learned before. We are excited that you are here with us. I am excited that you decided to spend a little bit of time here doing some really marvelous and awesome things with us. And I just know that you are going to be blessed, and we are all going to be blessed by our collective consciousness. So I am so glad that you are here. We are going to be speaking this evening with a phenomenal lady, and her name is Dr. Elaine R. Ferguson, M.D., and she has written a book called Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. And she is not on the line with us just yet. She will be calling in shortly, and as soon as she calls in, we will bring her in so that we can have our discussion, because she's been out there doing those things she's supposed to do as an MD, as a person of spirit, to bring healing, to bring wholeness and life to others. And she had notified me earlier that that would be the case. However, there is a lady on right now that I want to bring into our conversation, and her name is Carrie Kelly out of Oakland, California. And I want to just say good evening, Carrie. And she is one of our guest co-hosts from time to time and a phenomenal, talented lady in her own right. And I am so glad that she decided to spend a little bit of time with us this evening. Good evening, Carrie. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm excited about our having this lady on with us this evening, who is going to share with us from the perspective of super healing, how it is that we can use the power of the God force that is within us once we turn to it and allow it to work, to then bring about that energy, that goodness, that grace, that healing, that wholeness through what I call super spiritual awareness. And spiritual awareness and spiritual acuity comes from our being aware of whatever it is that is going on in our lives, who it is that we are, and what we are doing. Let me tell you all, and specifically you as well, Carrie, I want for you to stand by and just hold on for a minute. I want to tell people what this fabulous book is all about, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit later where you can go to get it. On the back page, it says, "Say goodbye to the one-size-fits-all approach to health and well-being." Are you a skeptic? Do you find yourself regularly pondering the side effects and weighing the risk of modern medicine? Are you looking for more? Then this book is for you. Contrary to popular belief, the constraints of conventional medicine in successfully preventing, reversing, or treating chronic diseases are vast. Diseases such as diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, arthritis, acid reflux, cancer, and many, many more. At times, modern treatment options have even proven fatal. We all know that to be the case. In Super Healing, Dr. Elaine Ferguson uses an integrative approach to healing as a way of eradicating the physical, emotional, and spiritual limitations that lead to chronic diseases and imbalances. And so that is what we are going to talk about this evening. We are going to talk about how it is that we bring about challenges upon ourselves, and they end up showing up in our physical space, in our physical unit called the body, as all of these things that I mentioned a moment ago. When people say to me, Reverend Mac, you know, I'm having this health challenge, I'm having that health challenge, I'll say to them what my minister in Washington, D.C., Reverend Amalia Frank, used to often say to me. She would say, so, Robert, who's bothering you? Who is it that is impacting and affecting your world in such a negative way that now you are allowing these boils to come up on your body, you are developing headaches, you are getting rashes, you are having problems breathing, you are this, you are that, you are the other. Who is it that is bothering you? That's a great question, folks. And sometimes who it is that is bothering us is us. We are bothering ourselves. And so we're going to talk about all of that this evening. They call that psychosomatic challenges that we then bring about upon ourselves. Now, oftentimes, though, as well, those health challenges, those conditions have come about in order to slow us down, to stop us from running into a space and a place where we really don't want to be. Let me give you an example of that I know experientially and I know personally. 3.5 years ago, actually in January of 2012, I was hospitalized at the VA hospital because blood clots had run down the veins of my legs into my feet and back up my legs and then into and lodged themselves in my lungs. And let me tell you, that is a tremendous amount of pain to experience. And I knew all about this stuff called metaphysics. I knew New Thought. And so immediately my thought was, why is it that I have done this to myself, and what is it that I need to change in order to make things different? Why? Because nothing will ever be different until we do something differently. Does that make sense? I know it does. And I understand and know that each and every person that is on the line with us, and even those who have decided to visit us via the World Wide Web, they too know these experiences of developing headaches and developing colds because there was something that we were trying to avoid. We weren't trying to avoid it intentionally, in other words, consciously, but yet our bodies knew, our minds knew that wasn't something that we really, really, really needed to do and or wanted to do. So here's the interesting thing about what Dr. Elaine Ferguson has done. She has already made things straight for us and is helping us with this book called Super Healing. And I see that she is on the line with us, so I'm going to bring her in just a moment. But her book is called Super Healing, a 40-day action plan to doing things differently for yourself. my good friend and the wonderful author of this phenomenal book, Super Healing. Good evening, Dr. Elaine. How are you?
Good evening, Reverend Robert. I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing wonderfully well. Thank you, ma'am. Doing just wonderfully well.
Good.
I was sharing with folks just before you came on that I know a little bit about this experience of health and healing, not only from the perspective of having been a medic in the military as a special procedures X-ray tech, but also from the perspective of having just a few years ago blood clots in both lungs that blew out my valves and my legs as I traveled through the mountains of Tennessee, Arkansas, and the Carolinas. And then when I got here a month later, all of that came about. And I was saying to the people that a lot of the challenges that we have are psychosomatic, and a lot of the challenges that we have are brought about because of the fact that we have refused to heed the call of spirit to do something about things in the way that we needed to. But now I'd like for you to, if you will, just go ahead and in your own way tell people what the book Super Healing is all about, why you wrote it, and then we're going to talk about some of the challenges that several people have shared with us that you have agreed to talk to in a general sense, and we'll go from there. Okay?
Okay, well, thank you again for another opportunity to share this information with your audience. Super Healing is a title, a term that literally descended into my mind in July 2012, and it was so exciting to me because it encapsulated what I know to be true, that we have a capacity to experience vibrant health and well-being in unimaginable ways, but because of our, I guess we can call it conditioning or programming, we have really very limited expectations about our health. On an intellectual level, it came to, in part because of my frustration for being involved in the holistic alternative medicine arena for almost 30 years and seeing how it still very much mirrors traditional Western allopathic medicine, and that is a very fragmented field in general in terms of my experiences. And we have an alternative MD here, we have a chiropractor there, we have an acupuncturist, an herbalist, a therapist, a Reiki healer, energy medicine, we have a spiritual minister. And I didn't see, in terms of my experience, a lot of cohesiveness in terms of the approach to actually treating people, which didn't reflect the true essence of a holistic approach to treatment as well as to health and well-being. So the book is really written with the intention to empower people with the truth that we have an unbelievably amazing body that has the capacity to create health and well-being. It's a magnificent design. It's just breathtaking to me in so many ways in terms of what I learned in medical school. And it has a spiritual aspect, it has a mental aspect, it has a physical aspect. And when we are in harmony, and intentionally in harmony in particular, with those three aspects of being through a variety of techniques and approaches, there's no one right way for everyone, but the general approach is to come into alignment or in harmony with our true essence. We experience radiant health and well-being. That's the reason why I wrote the book. And the 40-day action plan is based on questions that I ask at the end of each chapter so the reader can begin to lay the foundation or the groundwork for developing his or her own plan to create optimal health and well-being, and that's what the book was designed to do. It's an empowerment zone, I like to call it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Excellent, excellent. Well, we are so pleased that you did, and you are a medical doctor, and so you have gone to medical school and you assign treatments and treatment programs for people, but you are also a metaphysician. And I wonder if you could talk for a moment before we start looking into some of the opportunities and challenges that some of our guests have had and are wanting to know about from you. But how have you been able to blend metaphysics and medicine, the physical and the spiritual, in order to do and have what in your book you call a holistic approach to health and healing?
Well, to make a very long story short, my medical school experience laid the groundwork for practicing medicine, but also for me, it caused me to have a lot of questions that weren't answered when I was in medical school. As I said, we have an amazing body, so I was just blown away by certain things that I learned, how the heart functions, how the endocrine system works as a chemical, biochemical symphony. It's just everything works together in unison so beautifully. And I would say to myself during my first year of medical school in particular, God has to be in this somehow, even though we're taught in this culture and in Western civilization that the mind and the body are separate. Those are fallacies that came about several hundred years ago because of a turf war between physicians and scientists in the Catholic Church, and an agreement was made that was not based on any real science, but it was just an agreement so Descartes, who was a scientist, could get a hold of some bodies to conduct autopsies and study them. And so he agreed with the Church that the purview of the body would remain with the physician and the mind and the spirit would stay with the Church. And that's how this dichotomy has come about that people believe has some scientific basis, and it doesn't. So there's always been, throughout our history as human beings, a knowledge and an understanding that the mind, body, and spirit are one, that they cannot be separated in truth. And that's just the reality. So fortunately, we know that that's the truth from a metaphysical and a spiritual perspective, but today science is confirming all these ancient truths, and most people don't know that. And that's the real essence of science. Science should not just be limited to the physical, and that's the fallacy of our medical approach and our scientific approach. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not valuable or important or significant. So in part, that's how I came about this notion that I just cannot treat symptoms. I have to look at and come to understand the role that the mind and the spirit play in our health and well-being. And I was just fortunate enough to be guided and led to certain research, certain teachings, other approaches from around the world, Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese medicine, Native American, African medicine. All those approaches are very similar to the extent that they all recognize the unity of mind, body, and spirit. And that holistic approach, from a Western perspective, is becoming more accepted and recognized as important and significant, because if you look today at our so-called healthcare system, which is really a medical treatment system, we're spending trillions of dollars, more money than ever, and people are sicker than ever. So something's not working. And what's not working is that we're only focusing on fixing physical symptoms rather than addressing the true causes of dis-ease, which occurs when our body, our tissues, our cells, our organs are functioning in a state that is not at ease.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we are visiting with Dr. Elaine Ferguson, MD. She has given us a phenomenal book called Super. She is no stranger to this program. She has been on many times and will be on many, many more times. And you always have more questions than we have time to answer in the short period of time that we have. But I also want to let you know that tonight we're going to talk generally about several challenges that some people have, some people that are part and parcel of my pool of people. And one of those challenges is Parkinson's disease. One of them is multiple sclerosis. And then another is eye challenges as well. And, of course, we all have relatives who have had challenges with diabetes, and then diabetes then led to other challenges with the eyes, and therefore folks then went blind, although the blindness wasn't relative to initially their eyes having a problem. It was because of something else that caused that problem. So, Dr. Elaine, one of the things that I want for you to talk to, and that you do so well in your book, Super Healing, is prevention, how we can prevent those things from coming about. High blood pressure, you mentioned that, glucose levels in our bodies, not getting checkups at the time that we need to, and getting additional checkups if something does not seem right to us that someone has said, and to not just assume because they are in a position of authority that that has to be the last word. The last word has to always be God. And until you are satisfied that Spirit has answered, you should continue your quest of finding out what it is that you need to do if you feel that there is something else for you to do. So, Dr. Ferguson, in terms of the things that I just mentioned, those health challenges, and then I want to go to the lines because we do have some people on the line who are wanting to ask questions of you. But in terms of those, specifically the Parkinson's and the multiple sclerosis, can you kind of address that from a general perspective for us right now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, let me say that every disease that we experience has an underlying emotional component. And we, in terms of modern medicine, know that I think it's 85 to 90% of all doctor visits are stress-related. Stress is a huge issue that's not addressed because people have not been taught how to be healthy, so they have not been taught how to pay attention to their bodies. I often tell my patients, your body whispers, it speaks, it screams, it yells, and it slaps you down with a dis-ease because you didn't pay attention. So oftentimes we'll have minor symptoms and just not pay attention to them. Now, let's look at these neurological disorders that you asked me about, Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis. When I was in medical school in the late 70s, those diseases were extremely rare in the United States and the rest of the Western world for that matter. And we've essentially experienced an explosion of these neurological disorders in the last 25 to 30 years, particularly the last 10 to 15. And Parkinson's disease is a disease where there's a depletion of a certain chemical in the brain called dopamine, which causes the abnormal behaviors, movements that we see in the body. And I have just a few things to share about that, as well as with MS. We know that a lot of these neurological diseases are due to toxin exposure in our environment. Pesticides in particular, MSG and aspartame, those are food additives, are also related to these diseases, the explosion of them, and others. We also know that there are vitamin deficiencies, in particular vitamin D deficiency that's related to it. We also know that certain foods are linked to these diseases, in particular gluten, which is a protein that's found in wheat and bread products. We know now because of the way that the wheat has been manipulated, the wheat of today has a much higher level of gluten in it, so people are exposed to more gluten and it causes a reaction in the body triggered by the immune system's response to it that is linked to a wide variety of disorders, and in particular neurological disorders. So, for example, it was known when I was in medical school that schizophrenia was linked to gluten, that we call the most significant expression of gluten response, celiac disease. But we know today that most people, a significant amount of a percentage of our population reacts to gluten. I've seen this recently in terms of people going on gluten-free diets experienced significant improvements with neurological disorders. I've seen that among my family members. I have a family member that had severe depression, had been hospitalized several times for the depression, and has literally been symptom-free since going on a gluten-free diet and doing some other dietary modifications. Interestingly, specifically related to Parkinson's, there was a study that a couple of studies that I talk about in the book, which shows the power of the mind. People with Parkinson's were told they were going to have brain surgery, and the study actually only conducted surgery on half of the patients, and the other half were put to sleep with general anesthesia. They had a whole board drilled into their skull as if they were having the surgery. The doctor spoke as if he was actually conducting the surgery, but no surgery occurred, and the patients who didn't have the real surgery did just as well as those who did have the surgery. That just speaks to the power of the mind.
Wow.
And, of course, no good surgeon wants to believe that, but this is the truth, and it's also proven with another disorder in terms of doing knee surgery for osteoarthritis, very similar results. So the power of the mind is very important. Also with Parkinson's disease, we know that antioxidants such as glutathione, which is one that's naturally occurring in the body, but there are some physicians who actually treat people with Parkinson's disease with intravenous injections of glutathione and have had remarkable recoveries using that therapy. So there's a variety of approaches in addition to the traditional medication, which can be harmful. We know that some of the drugs, and I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it, but one in particular that's given for Parkinson's disease has been linked to people developing gambling addictions. Now, specifically for multiple sclerosis, when I was in medical school, I remember my professors often talked about this distribution of MS. The further north you go, there's a higher incidence of multiple sclerosis. And nobody could figure that out at the time. They thought it was related to sunshine, but they didn't understand how. Now we know that multiple sclerosis, as with many other diseases, but this disease in particular, is linked to vitamin D deficiency. So it makes sense that the further north you go, there's more disease because people have less sunshine exposure compared to people living in more temperate environments in the south. So vitamin D deficiency is a big part of multiple sclerosis, as well as some of the things that I just mentioned earlier, gluten deficiency, other vitamin deficiencies, as well as stress, because it's basically a disease of the autoimmune system. The body is literally attacking the nervous system. And we also know that some vitamin deficiencies actually mimic multiple sclerosis and has been confused with it. So there are several what we call alternative therapies or natural approaches that have been proven to assist people in terms of reversing their symptoms with that disease as well.
Excellent. That is awesome. I am so grateful for your taking time from your very, very, very busy, hectic schedule. I don't know when it is that you get to sleep. I'm just assuming that every now and then there are 3 or 4 hours that you just pull from somewhere and say to someone that they cannot pull against you at that particular time. I want for you to tell folks where they can get your book, Super Healing. I know that it is available on your website, and so I want for you to share that with them. And also, are you available for personal counseling? Do you take patients on in addition to your 34-hour week that you already have, or is most of that type of activity going to be what you'll be doing in these wonder-filled excursions that you're going to tell us about that people can then become a part of, and they will then have access to you through the World Wide Web and through the ability to bring so many people in at one time. So first of all, share with us what your website is and where they can get your book, and again, what the book is, please.
Okay, my website, excuse me, is Dr. as in Dr. Elaine, ELAINE.com. There's a link on that website that goes directly to the book's webpage, which is superhealingbook.com. And there's a link on the book's page to the Amazon site where it can be purchased. But it's available at bookstores if you don't want to go through the Internet. Barnes & Noble's and other bookstores either carry it or they can order it for the person who wants to read it. Yes, I do a few telephone consultations every week, normally in the evenings or on the weekends, where I don't act as a primary care physician, but I do help my clients to navigate through their medical care. And actually, I write reports or converse with their treating physicians and provide them with the medical literature to give them a greater comfort level with these nutritional and alternative approaches, because most physicians just simply haven't been educated on these really exciting approaches that can supplement normal and traditional medical treatment. So that's the answer to that. In terms of the future, we're planning webinars, as you mentioned, and we've been talking to you back and forth about this for quite some time, but those are right on the precipice of actually happening. And we're also planning on, we're in pre-production right now for a PBS Pledge Drive special based on the book, where I share the core concepts of the book with the PBS audience. We'll be taping that probably in June, and it's scheduled to air this fall on PBS throughout the country during their Pledge Drive season.
Excellent. That is awesome. We are going to continue our conversation. I do have a number of people online who are wanting to ask you some things as well, but I really appreciate hearing about the vitamin D deficiency. And in the second half of our discussion, I want to ask you to put it on the back burner for now. I want to go to the telephone lines first, but I want for you to talk to us about bipolar challenges and what some of the complications are to that, and what the alternative treatments for those diseases might be in terms of from the metaphysical and the physician side, and how it is that you have seen people come positively into the opportunity of wholeness and health and healing as well. But stand by for just a moment, if you will, Dr. Elaine Ferguson, who is the author of the book Super Healing, Engaging Your Mind, Body, and Spirit to Create Optimal Health and Well-Being. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan, and this is The No Show on the RBR Network, and we have phenomenal programs for you this evening at 8:30 p.m., and all of our shows are Central Standard Time. We leave it up to you smart folks to figure out what that might be, wherever it is that you are, because we are not where you are, at least not at that particular time. So I want for you to know that the Progressive News Weekly show at 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time is hosted by Daryl Clark from New York. This was a long-running show on another network, but now it's a long-running show on our network. And Daryl's guests have included such well-known personalities as a dear friend of mine in Washington, D.C., Mr. Dick Gregory. And the shows to focus on hot issues and current events. The moderator and co-host is our own RBR director, and that is Mr. Cecil McDaniel. At 1 p.m. on Fridays, by the way, the other one, the Progressive News Weekly, is on Thursdays. On 1 p.m. at Friday, my own moderator, Ms. Rhonda Harrison, who is doing such a phenomenal job for us this afternoon in keeping everything together and making dotting all of the I's and crossing all of the T's. She has the Searchers Roadmap show at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that is hosted from Red Feathers Lakes, Colorado, way, way, way on up yonder. The Searchers Roadmap was the first RBR show, and thus it is the longest running show. Rhonda is a healer and often hosts shamans from around the world at her home 9,000 feet up the mountains of Colorado. We have Soul Town on Saturday at 3 p.m., and that's The Sound of Music, broadcast from Memphis, Tennessee by Reginald Jenkins. Reginald was a founding member and CEO of Sound Town Records, which was established after the closure of Stax Records in Memphis. And so we have hundreds of phenomenal opportunities, ladies and gentlemen, for you all to come on and hear almost as awesome guests as my guest who is on right now. I'm a little biased and prejudiced because she is so tough. She knows she's bad. But there are phenomenal people on all of the various programs that we have, and we invite you to check into those. I think I mentioned to you already that this evening at 8:30, James Renford Powell will host The Laws of Material Wealth. And it's I don't know of anyone in 2015 who can actually make life really work without money. I haven't met that person. And so I know that all of us, though, appreciate the fact that we are in this wonderful place called metaphysics and new thought, where we're able to do the things. But let me tell you, when I went to the grocery store a little bit earlier today, they asked me for money. They didn't say, "Reverend Matt, listen, how spiritual are you?" No, they wanted some of that green stuff. So we're excited about all of those types of things. Dr. Ferguson, we have a young lady on the line with us, Diane O, I will call her, out of Washington, D.C. And Diane is a very, very dear and good friend of mine. And for those of you who don't know, she's been on the program before. But Diane was involved in a horrific car accident with another friend of ours. And Diane was in the right-hand seat of a little Spitfire or whatever it was, one of those itty-bitty cars. And she had, I believe, 72 bones that were broken in her body. And the interesting thing is that I was to have been with them that evening. But at the last moment, I said, "No, guys, you all go ahead. I'm going to just cool out this evening, and I'll catch you a little bit later." And then that happened. Now, whatever it is that happens to any of us and all of us, it is always that spirit is right there with us. Spirit had to be there in order for Diane to still be here right now, and the other friend as well, to be okay. Diane O, are you with us in Washington, D.C.? Good evening.
Hi, Robert. How are you doing? I'm here.
Doing great, my dear. I'm doing great, and so are you. And you have moved forward and are moving on, and now you're traveling all over the world, and you are about the business of spirit's business and telling people about healing and how that can come about. And I know that you, too, are going to be involved with Dr. Elaine in doing something. We've talked about that a little bit before. But I just want for you to share with us what your thoughts are relative to what you have heard so far.
Well, I agree with the doctor. I'm in the process of publishing a book right now. It's in a layout stage, and it's called Teachable Moments in Spirituality and Medicine. And what I wrote the book because I was in the hospital over 30 weeks in 4 different hospitals, and I saw a lot of people that were struggling, including myself. But a lot of times they asked us what was our pain score, and pain, 0 meaning no pain, and 10 about the path up from pain. And they usually treated us with Oxycontin or morphine or whatever, you know, they need to knock the pain out. But they never asked myself or the other patients about our spiritual pain. And so I wrote about the stories that I retold, some of my spiritual stories through this experience, as well as some of the patients. I retold some of their stories in this book, because a lot of them were struggling before they got there spiritually, And when once they got to the hospital, they still struggled spiritually, which made them take longer to heal. And no one dealt with that. But because I consider myself a spiritually fit patient, a lot of the patients came to talk to me about their spiritual pain. And so I tell those stories. So I agree with her that we usually, when I was researching my book, I looked at physicians who believe in the spirit and in medicine. And one physician, I think her name is Dr. Ramin, she said there's three ways of looking at life. You look at either at it's weak, or you can help, or you can serve. And she said when you look at life, that when you can look at people that are weak, you think that everybody is need help. You look at people who are needs, who are struggling, those people you think that you have to fix. But she said she looked at people as whole, and she believes in serving them. So I hope that we can start a movement where doctors start serving the whole patient as well as the whole patient, just not the physical patient.
Excellent.
So I agree with
Thank you. Thank you, Diane. Dr. Ferguson, I know that you treat holistically and that you are always giving consideration to that. But how do we, which is what I hear my friend Dee asking, how do we get other physicians, because those folks are not on the line with us tonight, so how do we get them to understand the spirituality as well as the physical ness of healing and wholeness?
Well, I'm much more hopeful today than I was 30 years ago. I think there is a great awakening, if you will, within the field of medicine and from many different aspects and avenues. There are people who actually doing research on spirituality and the interface of spirituality and health and spirituality and medicine. There's, I'm sorry, I can't even think of the exact title, but there's a book by Dr. Andrew Newberg, who's a radiologist in Pennsylvania and Philadelphia, who actually studies the brains of people in different spiritual states. I have a friend, his name is Dr. Jeff Levin, who's a researcher who's looked at spirituality and health and how religion affects our health. In terms of physicians, I don't want to say everyday physicians, but practicing physicians, I do think that the medical education is changing. When I was in medical school, it was very rigid, and we were not taught to express our emotions. We were not taught how to treat patients but as objects, and that's changing. There's a groundswell within the medical community in terms of education of young physicians and medical students that is teaching them how to speak to people, how to take into consideration every aspect of their being, even the Joint Commission on Hospital Accreditation, JCO, when they go out to do accreditations of hospitals and reaccreditations, they ask about how the hospital is and how therapists and physicians and the people, the healthcare workers, are actually dealing with the issue of spirituality and religion in the hospital setting, beyond the traditional Catholic or Christian churches or hospitals. So I'm very hopeful that this is something that is going to continue to grow in terms of physicians becoming more aware of the spiritual aspect of treating patients and its importance and its role and significance.
Absolutely. Let me just read from page 202 of your book, and it says, Part 3, Your Super Healing Spirit, Engaging Your Spirit. It's important to realize that you are engaging your spirit every moment and in every way. But there is a difference between being aware of it and being unaware of it. The practice of engaging your spirit is equivalent to the practice of engaging your life, identifying with those aspects of your life that give you a sense of inner peace, comfort, strength, love, and connection expand and enhance you in a way that nothing else can. In fact, many things you once deemed important will begin to take on a less significant role in your life. There is a natural sense of well-being that accompanies the awareness of your spirit, leading to your freedom from the imposed self or otherwise limitations that have encumbered joy, serenity, freedom, and self-fulfillment. It is where the ultimate pursuit of happiness and the search for the meaning of life resolve. And then you go on to give various techniques for engaging that spirit. And number one technique is self-love. And then number two, through breathing and prayer and meditation and engagement suggestions and appreciation and then just being. And then you talk about giving and then what that is all about. So, ladies and gentlemen, and then number seven is very, very, very important. In the Cosmic Energizer by Dr. Joseph Murphy, a religious science minister who lived years and years ago in California, he has a whole book on this last thing that Dr. Ferguson is talking about, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a super healing technique. And so you don't find a lot of physicians that are talking about this, but we're finding more. And so what we want to do is find those who are involved in that way. I want to see if I saw a little bit earlier that there was another person on who was wanting to get in and ask a question. It seems that he may have dropped. But in case, no, I think I still have him. Mr. A in Little Rock, are you with us there, sir? Good evening, and how are you? Hello, Mr. A, are you there? Maybe he's doing something else right now, and we'll have to come back to him in a moment. Mr. A in Little Rock, are you there with us, sir? Hello. Okay, I'll come back to him if we have time left in just a moment. Let me go back to you now, Dr. Elaine, and let you, in the last 10 or so minutes that we have, again, talk about how it is that medicine has changed, how it is that those of us who are now taking more of a personal involvement in our own care and refusing to just accept something because one person says it, regardless of who it is that they are, help us to understand how it is that we need to do more of that in order to be more involved.
You mean more of that in terms of questioning or more of that in terms of taking care of ourselves?
Both.
Okay.
Both of those are key ingredients.
Yeah.
So both, please.
Okay. Well, let me address self-care first, and I'll get to the doctor-patient relationship. The foundation of health is how we live every day, and most people don't even realize that until it's too late. Everything that we do affects our bodies, and most of us have this belief that, well, my family had these diseases, it runs in my family, and I'm going to get it probably, so it doesn't matter what I do. And that's really one of the great misconceptions of family history that has been totally negated in the last 6 or 7 years. We know that our family history is not our destiny, that literally we turn on and off healthy genes, genes that promote our health, or disease-contributing genes, genes that contribute to our cellular dysfunction based on not only how we live physically, but how we live emotionally. Because most of us have been led to think about lifestyle as it's how I eat, it's what I do, as if it's I exercise or how I sleep. Those things are very important, but what most of us don't realize is that until we get really stressed and we know what our body's doing based on how we feel, every thought, feeling, and emotion creates an equivalent biochemical response which directly affects our cells. that is a truth. That is a physiological reality. So while we're thinking it's just in our heads, it's not. It's everywhere. It is a universal physical response in our body. Not one of the 50 trillion cells in our body is misses or is exempted from how we think and feel. So that's very important to understand, because when we are at ease, when we are happy, when we are joyful, when we are at peace, those emotional states promote physiological health and well-being. So it's how we live every day. It's paying attention and giving ourselves the consideration that it needs, giving our body, giving our emotions. I tell people that we either have emotional nutrients or we're giving our body emotional toxins. It's just that simple. It's just it's like a vitamin, and we have emotional, you know, deficiencies when we're not experiencing our natural state, which is a state of health, state of joy, state of peace. We're creating toxins particularly through a stress response that causes ourselves to dysfunction and makes us more susceptible to developing all of the chronic diseases that we see in this country. Now, related to our doctor-patient relationship, I tell people, and especially today, because it's so interrupted by the insurance companies, and doctors are under a lot of pressure. It's not all doctors' fault. They are under pressure to see. It's almost like assembly line medicine. Get them in, get them out. The pressure that's placed on doctors.
Right.
But I tell people, you have to have a doctor that you feel you are comfortable with. And if you don't like a diagnosis or you don't like what you're hearing, you get a second, get a third, get a fourth, get as many opinions as you need until you feel comfortable with the rapport, with the relationship you have with your physician. And I would tell that to my patients. You don't like my diagnosis, I'll help you get a second opinion, because that's how important I believe it is for people to feel comfortable with their physician. The physician-patient relationship is so important, because when you feel comfortable with your doctor, your body is much more likely to get better, to heal, compared to a relationship that is not as pleasant or is not as positive. It makes that much of a difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And ownership is key and crucial. We do have Ms. C on with us now that wanted to ask a question of you, Dr. Elaine. So let me go to Ms. C in Little Rock. Ms. C, are you there with us? Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
And
what question do you have for Dr. Elaine?
Well, I know that MS is, what I understand, is a genetic type of a disease, and I did research when I first was diagnosed in 1998 that stress is something that is causes the relapses. I have relapse remitting, and you know, I've known that when I was first diagnosed, I had an awesome neurologist, her name was Dr. Folder, and she had told me from the very beginning that I needed to rid all of the toxic people in my life. And I thought about that, you know, because of all the negativism that come from people who are in that mode, and how it affected me. And that was like a very strong symptom, I think, of, you know, what was happening with me and my relationships with other people. And I noticed that when I was engaged in those relationships, I could feel my symptoms come forward. And so I'm nodding my head at the same time and even thinking about, you know, this toxicity of people that are around you and the things that you get involved in. And so I really believe that that's the case, and it was nice to hear that.
Hmm.
Well, thank you.
And did
but
you
let...
say this is recurring? Honestly, did you say it is a recurring challenge with you?
Well, you know, it is. And I think that that's, you know, something that I have trouble with. Once I identify it, it's like, okay, you know, I need to move out of that situation as quickly as I can. But it seems like, you know, those the symptoms that are involved in that, you know, it's because I don't know how to say this, but because of the uncertainty, you know, of the symptoms that occur, you know, it kind of puts you in a position where you can't really move out of situations as quickly as I would prefer to do that. So I'm just, you know, thinking back on this and the fact that when I was first diagnosed and the symptoms.
Let me interrupt you because I know we're running out of time. I'm feeling
that from
Reverend Robert.
Let me
just say this very quickly. So I apologize for interrupting you, but you need to hear this. You have to interrupt your belief in your disease, and you have to come to a greater understanding that health is your true birthright, and your cells have that capacity to function. So it's a matter of shifting your focus from the dis-ease to really claiming your health mentally and emotionally, and knowing that when you feel and accept and can really visualize this possibility of improvement, then your cells will respond to that. But you're in the anticipatory, and understandably, I'm not criticizing you, you're in the anticipatory state of feeling the symptoms are coming, it's going to get worse, and I got to do something to plan for that. Where you, in honesty and actuality, you need to begin to plan for your health and your recovery. And that will allow yourself to function better. And let me also say this about toxic people. Yes, it's best, especially when you're ill, to stay away from people that are negative. That's common sense and quite important. But also, you have to look at your response. We often react to situations instead of responding, meaning we always have a choice. And what I've learned personally, and it's a lesson that can take time, that I have to replace my stress response or my rejection of whatever I'm facing with love. And that changes my physiology, that changes the person, and that's something that unfolds. But as long as you think the other person is the problem, which they can be on one level, but your response to them is really the key. And when you learn how to convert that response to one of acceptance of the person as they are, of loving acceptance, that will change everything, not only for you, but for the person, because it changes the field in which you're interacting with them, and it changes their physiology and your physiology. It's just that simple and just that powerful.
Absolutely. And Ms. C, I'm going to actually connect the two of you. I'm going to make that happen. And Dr. Elaine has a clock in her house that has Reverend Mack's name on it, apparently, because she knows that is exactly what is happening. We are running out of time. But I'm going to make certain that the two of you get together so that we can continue this conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The No Show. My name is Reverend Robert J.V. McMillan. My guest this evening has been Ms. Elaine R. Ferguson, Dr. Elaine R. Ferguson, M.D., a phenomenal lady and a phenomenal woman of spirit. Her book is called Super Healing. You need to get it. You need to come back, listen to this show again and again and again. She gave you her website a little bit earlier. Tell your friends that are having challenges, regardless of whatever the challenge is, to come and listen to this show. We'll have it up on our website probably about half an hour to an hour after the show is over. Dr. Elaine, I want to thank you so much for taking time from your schedule to be here. I know that there were other places that you could have been, but you chose to be here. Thank you so much. I love you. God bless you all. We will see you next week. I want for you to have a fabulous week. The best week of your life. It's your choice. It is all up to you. God bless you both right now and forevermore. We'll see you next week. God bless. Take care, everybody.
You
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.